If
Well, was this
Mayday.
designed for any particular serviceability too, so you can swap gyros out? All the gyros were the same. I mean, you could swap out X, Y, or Z gyro for any other, couldn't you?
Yes, you could. You could. It is not very desirable to do it because of the precision. The removal or replacement of a gyro or accelerometer is a major effort. It requires that you adjust the angles very, very accurate to the angle measurement. It's a precision mechanical unit, and so you need to have a good laboratory to do that.
Can you explain to me, and I'm not sure I'll understand it when you finish explaining it to me, how this is optically aligned to take to accurately pinpoint the vehicle's position on Earth, and then what happens when it is released at, I think, T minus 17 seconds when it, and how are the gyros spun up in the first place? When are they spun up?
The gyros need to be spun up before you start the alignment. The inner gimbal has a window, has an optical surface, an optical
And
surface,
two mirrors in
or
there.
two mirrors in order to get this optical surface visible from the ground. Oh my.
That's what I said
This
when
is
I
a
read about it. Oh my.
yeah. The reason it's hard to explain because it is built as with a closed loop with torques within the platform, so that it is a self-alignment. Once you get the by eye the mirror up there,
Then you can run the other one around
then
in
you
with the
yeah
servos.
and you keep it
You know
locked
where it is.
in. You keep the optical locked in, so every time the platform wants to turn away, come in to this scheme for aligning the platform. This is a fairly complicated scheme, which is done in a closed loop after a while. That means the platform is locked in, and if it wants to drift away, it will develop some torque in one of the gimbal rings and turn the gimbal back to the position it should have. So it's a fairly accurate and good alignment scheme, automatic. But I think to explain it in all details, I would need a block diagram to go through it, which I do not have available right here. Of course, I think it doesn't help much here. I don't know. Of course, there's a model of the ST-124. And you notice here the frame which I broke off. It was actually, why doesn't it move?
You have a
This
tape chair.
would be the fourth gimbal, yes. Yeah, the blue one, as you can see. No, it's locked in somewhere. I
It's
don't know where.
gimbal lock.
Gimbal lock, that's right. Yeah. So, but eventually you end up with all the gimbals. Now, I do not know where the surface is, which we see then from the ground. I believe if you want to go in some more detail on any of the components, it may be good that you discuss it with the designers who were involved in the design.
I want to talk with Dr. Seltzer.
Seltzer was involved in the operational aspects, that means the flight operational aspects, the flight dynamics and these things.
With Mendel's group?
Mendel is in charge of the platform. And they have a considerable amount of information. Now, the Saturn is one of those projects which is documented in all aspects, management and technical, much better and much heavier and deeper as any other project I know of. So you can follow practically any thought or any question down to the very, very detail. What we can discuss here and where I can help you is only in generalities and the overall general approach.
Yeah, we want to get a feel for,
Yeah.
how the equipment
Yeah.
works.
This is of course the basic material for the structure. Yeah.
That honey,
The
this is
honeycomb.
honeycomb?
This is honeycomb. Yeah.
Are these the two different densities that you use?
No, you just pull them apart. See this.
I wouldn't do that.
This material comes in a block which looks almost solid, yeah, and it is cut then to pieces. This is actually was a much heavier block, about 2 inches, the thickness of the instrument unit, and it's cut by a saw. It's aluminum, and then of course it's by machines pulled apart, and you get this honeycomb.
And then for different densities, you just run it back together?
No, you don't run it back.
I
Machines
mean,
do it, pull it just in a way that it is exactly alike, that the density of these different holes or the size of the different holes you pull open is exactly the same. Yeah. And then, of course, it is filled with certain plastic foam and a heavier layer of plastic outside for protection.
And that gives it the rigidity.
It gives it and damping features too.
Damping,
yeah,
okay.
Damping.
Oh, yeah, damping would be a good reason for...
Now, this is here a small cut of the instrument unit, of an actual instrument unit. This was done for testing. We had some problems indicated earlier in providing inserts. So these are inserts here. Yeah, as you can see, they are cast into with plastic. Yeah.
Now these inserts go all the way through the wall.
This is the wall. This instrument unit go all the way through. Yeah.
And this is the entire thickness of that wall.
It's the entire thickness of the wall. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about an inch.
I didn't know these inserts, and then these are bolted on the outside, and of course, shaved off clean.
Yeah. Right.
But they're bolted right through,
and these
hanging structures that we saw in here,
that
the cooling racks are on, those things go all the way through and
all
are bolted on the outside through these special aluminum fasteners.
Yes, these are fasteners.
Okay.
What else we? If we go to the computer, we can discuss that a little later. Did we cover the platform, shall we say a few more words to it? A few of the design features which were new at this time: to put as much of the electronics on the gimbals as possible in order to have the minimum amount of wires going through that gimbal, through the gimbals.
Mm-hmm.
The platform does not have full 360 degrees freedom, but it has this only with a fourth gimbal, which was never required. If you want to know some about the management and the costs, I have made a study some time ago, compared the Apollo with the Saturn. But I would have to dig it out. You could read it if you want to.
Okay, I might drop by next week and ask you for that.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, I can get you a copy. You read it some at your leisure and bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
Or send it back. Yeah. The reason for that, by the way, was primarily, there are two reports, I should say. One is based on the other. I was called in once to look into some problems developing in the production and assembly of the Apollo IMUs at the Milwaukee AC spark plugs, or AC electronics, as it's called now. I did this and prepared a report. Later on, the cost was questioned very seriously by our own management. The cost of a specific platform, SD-124M, as compared with an Apollo platform. And I was asked to look into this, so I compared the costs, and I have a report on that. Yeah.
You mean the AC unit was more or less than the...
This I would have to answer a little different. If you buy a gyro or an IMU, you say, I want one more, yeah? You pay less for an Apollo as you pay for a Saturn. But if you look into the cost and say, how much money do I invest total in the IMU for the Apollo, and how much do I apply, do I need total for the SD-124M, and divide it by the number of actual flights to support, the Apollo platform is much more expensive.
Mm.
Did I make it clear?
Mm-hmm.
The reason for it is that there are many reasons. Yeah, one is that you need to manufacture about 100 gyros before you get 20 good ones. See, the Apollo, and it's kind of unfair to compare them on that basis. The Apollo needs a longer lifetime, and there is one life-restricting item in each platform, in each gyro. That is the ball bearings of the flywheel. The flywheel is very heavy, and it has to work very, very high speed. Yeah, I do not remember. I think in the order of 20,000 RPM, which is extremely high.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy wheel, and you cannot afford much tolerance in there, because you cannot afford to have this flywheel move at all. It has to stay in relation to the outer bearing where it is. Now you have to put a pretty good preload on these bearings. And of course, they and little lubrication. So They do not last long. And Apollo has found that, in Apollo they have found that they make many bearings and then they run them for a long time and test them again and again and again. And those which make it through the first, let's say, a few hundred or a thousand hours, yeah, they are very likely last much longer.
Mm-hmm.
And the other ones drop out. Now, these type of things increase your cost. It's not the only effect, but I
mm-hmm.
give this as an example to show what type of effects you have there. Yeah. If you want to go in more detail than this, we can do it anytime. I think
mm-hmm.
on this I'm pretty much at home because I made this study. Do we have enough on the platform or shall
All
we?
Right,
yeah, okay.
We better do the computer.
The computer. Digital computer was developed by IBM, and it was a kind of a breakthrough or a change in technology as compared, for instance, with the Titan computer, which was produced by IBM at the time at the same plan when we started the Apollo computer. This little gadget here is not an Apollo printed circuit board, but it is one which they use in their commercial computer. The Apollo is, however, same type of philosophy. A little chip, as they call it, a small printed circuit board. Only the connections, in our case, were mounted differently. The connections, because we needed printed boards on both sides, not only on one, like on this one here.
Mm-hmm.
We needed to have clips which reached around the corners for mounting and connecting the electrical connections. This gave us quite a few problems. These little springs were very, very hard. I am sorry, I do not have an example here. Yeah. These little springs gave us a considerable problem. IBM had really to work hard and spend a considerable amount of money to make them perform properly.
Mm-hmm.
The point was to...
They're like pages put in there, aren't they, these printed circuits?
Yeah, they are. They are, but unlike this connection, we had printed circuit boards on... printed circuits on both sides of the board, and we needed to have clips which went around. Let's say we saw them here to the board and there's a clip. The clip in this case was the mounting facility. At the same time it was the electric connection. Of course there is a whole row on two sides here. These clips, they were a real headache. And the technology to develop these tiny little clips and work them was very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they saw it here, the heat creeped in and gave them some problems. They even developed different types of soldering. For instance, an optical soldering by focusing a very high lamp through a solid optical system,
mm-hmm.
and they focus it to one point and solder this way in order not to get to give a mechanical contact to the printed circuit board. It's very tiny, as you can see, and it's hard to work these. This was one of the bigger problems. I think the systematic problems were minor compared with this little clip problem we had for a long time. The other novelty in technology is the small transistors. These little chips you see on each side are transistors. And if you look close, you see that there are three connections on each,
mm-hmm.
three little points. These three little points are connected in the board. If you can see on the board this little square, a mirror type looking item, this is a transistor, and the way it is put in, it's just pressed down,
mm-hmm.
and by the pressure the electrical connection is good enough that it stays on. I believe there is one point where the chip fell off, and where, if I'm not mistaken on this one, no, it's still there. I thought there was one point where the chip fell off, where you can see the three connections before, yeah, which
mm-hmm.
which are open.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at the piece of the mounting piece there is what, about 3/4 inch square?
Approximately.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And those transistors are about the size of a pencil point.
About
except they're square,
yes,
yeah.
Except they're square and have three electrical connections.
Uh-huh.
You notice another thing, the black blocks, these are resistors. Now, the resistors are painted on with a paint which contains small metal particles or carbon. Yeah. Now the resistors are painted on, and after they are painted on, they are adjusted to the proper value by sunblasting part of it off. Yeah. That was also a rather new manufacturing method. You see that parts of it is missing. on either one of the resistors. Yeah.
Hmm.
They are sandblasted automatically. There is a resistor measuring bridge, which in itself has an electrical contact to trigger and to start the sandblast. Yeah. The sandblast is, of course, moving along the transistor, and when the proper amount is reached, it's cut off by the resistor measuring bridge.
Mm-hmm.
The memory is a magnetic memory, and it is based on tiny magnetic rings. Yeah, it's then wires are put through. You saw these memories, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now these are so small that they would not easily work by hand. Yeah, it would take years for anybody to align them and put these wires through. The second one from the top. This was the Saturn size. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I understand, for the Titan computer. But this is a different system. This here, the 1321, is the Saturn size, which is rather small. Now, and the next smaller is the next generation. I do not know where they are used here.
This is not talking about a pin head. You're talking about the size of a pin point there.
Yeah, but
really.
These are actually little rings of magnetic material.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
what kind of material is that? Just
this
steel?
No, it is not steel. It is a sintered material. It is very fine powder sintered
mm-hmm.
together. Now, there are different
mm-hmm.
binders in. I do not know which they are. The way these memories are done is quite interesting. There is a metal plate in which the worker. Mostly they are women because they
mm-hmm.
obviously they can work much better with these. It's put on this plate, and the plate has a carved in tiny, very tiny little half round and grooves. Yeah.
Grooves.
Then the vibrator starts to vibrate this metal board, and these little memory rings, the magnetic rings, they just fall in place, and after a while they are lined like soldiers on the board. Through a microscope, the worker see if all holes are filled, and then they are ready to put by a machine very thin wires, which are very straight, right through the whole line of rings. Yeah, it's amazing. It works very good. Yeah, the vibration makes it. Yeah, I think it's a very high frequency vibration.
Was this technique perfected at IBM?
It was perfected at IBM. Yes.
Over here?
Not here, no.
Owego.
In Owego. The
uh-huh.
the computer was built in Owego, but this technique was not developed. This is Owego. These printed circuit chips or boards, they were developed in another plant in New York. I forgot the name.
Mm-hmm.
I was there, I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Binghamton?
Near Binghamton, not directly in Binghamton. Binghamton has a larger plant and
mm-hmm.
has also a school, but there was still another plant about 8 miles from Binghamton where these things are made. I mentioned before, the computer itself did not provide any greater problems in its systematic development. But the hardware development, as I mentioned before, the computer has the option that you can add memories at will. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You can have a larger or smaller capacity. The real issue, however, was the software. Now, I must say here that it was the first time that Marshall went into real large digital system. The Pershing, which we worked on before, as you know, was an analog system,
mm-hmm.
completely analog. It was built up on mechanical and electrical analog systems. Yeah, I believe.
Was that still using the ball and disc integrator?
That is one of the gadgets used.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but it was a number of gear trains and potentiometers and various mechanical gadgets. Yeah, in the Pershing.
Mm-hmm.
The decision was hard to make at the Pershing time, because at that time it so happened that the digital technology just came up And the risk to come up with a low-cost development was, with digital means, was very great. We would have to pay considerable effort to really develop the technology for a digital Pershing computer.
Mm-hmm.
For when we had to make decision on Saturn, there were already several digital systems available, not available, but tried. Yeah, the Titan and I think the Atlas too. So we had already experience available in industry. For Marshall, it was the first experience with digital systems, with a larger digital system. So the software was more of a, how shall I say, I shouldn't say a problem, was new to us even more than the mechanical or the design of the hardware. Design of the hardware, I think there was not a real difference in between analog and digital,
mm-hmm.
small electronics in either case. But the software, that is the digital programming, that was new, and we had to learn that. It worked quite satisfactorily, as you know. It helped a lot along that line, that is, in the development of the digital programming as well as the systems, that we started rather early with a so-called breadboard, simulating
mm-hmm.
a Saturn vehicle, including the ground hardware, and exercising it through the breadboard. I don't know if you saw it. It's in one of those steel buildings. I think it's still there.
I would like to go and see the Saturn.
I think you should.
Sometime.
Of course, you should realize that what you see now is the end of the program. Yeah, in the beginning, it's one of those steel buildings on the right, from the tower to the right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Realize that we started out with a tiny little setup, and we enlarged it as we went along. You know, this is 7-1B breadboard, 7-5 breadboard is back in the quality laboratory building. Yeah.
Hmm.
Platform servo amplifier, I think there's nothing. These are straightforward electronic design, servos, servo design, power supply. Power supply is new. This is based on a digital method. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This was a kind of a breakthrough too. Before, as you know, the power supply, that means conversion DC to AC, to 400 cycle AC, was done mechanically by generators, motor generators. They were perfected to quite a good reliability. However, for new space systems, they were not sufficient anymore. So this is a digital system which converts from DC to AC. It's quite novel. If you are interested in details, you may want to talk with some people here. This is a quite interesting, tricky system.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you say a little more about it?
The point here is that you have a very good power, how shall I say, efficiency, input-output. And the digital system is a real interesting thing. I could, to say here on this item again, without a diagram here, I couldn't give you very much
mm-hmm.
detail. The man who knows it very well is Kreider, Bill Kreider.
Mm-hmm.
He works over there in
can you spell that last name?
Kreider. Bill Kreider, and he works in research laboratory, research
mm-hmm.
Branch of Astrionics. He's good at it. Data adapter. I should have mentioned this before. The data adapter is nothing but input-output facilities for the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it is conversion, we need it, conversion analog to digital or digital to analog, whatever the inputs, outputs required, just to adapt the computer to the overall system. You would have to go through each of the channels and see what the input is and how you had to convert
mm-hmm.
it to make it digestible by the computer. Control system. No, this is the wrong picture, by the way. We never built this control computer this way. Oh, this, I'm sorry, this Ray Gyro, yes. Ray Gyro, this is the first time we really adopted a redundant approach. We use three each gyros, so
mm-hmm.
there are nine gyros in this one,
mm-hmm.
whereas in contrast to mm-hmm. the main platform, there are only three gyros and three accelerometers, no redundancy. We considered the redundancy to this one to be available from
Skylab?
Not from Skylab, from the Apollo.
Mm-hmm.
The Apollo had two platforms.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so.
But that this wasn't always hooked up with the Apollo platform, was
no,
it?
No, it was not.
When did that happen?
Let's see.
I notice you have it here on this schematic that it's hooked up to the platform.
Steering command. So this must have been a very old decision. Yeah, if it is here, that was very early during
mm-hmm.
the development of the IU.
Mm-hmm.
So the decision must have been early. There were in between at different times various discussions on whether it is feasible to do it one way or another way, and requests for changing the old concept came up again and again. But I do not believe that it ever had been changed. Not on here is the control computer. The control computer, which is developed by a firm in Florida, Tampa, Florida,
mm-hmm.
ECI, I think ECI.
Yeah.
It was not a breakthrough at all. We needed quite the good amplifiers, substantial amplifiers to run inputs to the various controls for the engine, serving
mm-hmm.
engines. But I believe there was nothing really breakthrough. The only point was design, features and design problems, mechanical and electrical design. The printed circuit boards were a little bit harder to handle. They were rather big, rather large for their normal electronic uses. And if you have large printed circuit boards and environmental changes, let's say temperature
mm-hmm.
or so, we didn't want to have too close tolerances put on, yeah? Then you have a few problems that the contacts would break or soldering spots or so, yeah? The control computer has one problem involved in, I have to go a little bit too into the system here to make it clear. Practically each of our Saturn flights has a different payload or has a different flight program for it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The bending moments, the payload, and many other variables affect the control system. It may make it unstable if we have the wrong filters in or so. Yeah, bending mode filters. We would break up the vehicle, or we may have an unstable flight. Yeah. So the control computer is one of the items which has to be changed for each configuration or each flight, which is not so for the other components. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It applies to the control computer. So filter networks are put in rather late in these control computers. That's the reason why they are.